This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you know that with all the modern conveniences that we have that are really designed to make our life easier, neurologically, our brain is becoming more distressed. Consequently, our lives are becoming more difficult. As a result of this brain stress that we're experiencing, more Americans at all ages are suffering from depression more than even 15 years ago. Well, what I've been doing in the research for the show, and I'm very excited to share it with you, is that what we're finding in some of the latest research is that managing depression that's associated with all of this neurological change that's going on as far as making our lives easier, what is happening is that we're finding in research that perhaps it's time that we go back and really look at the gardening, growing our own food, even making our own clothes, cleaning our own homes, engaging in hobbies and activities that are basically going to stimulate the reward part of the brain that it needs in order to stay mentally healthy. And one of the things that we're also finding in the latest research is that the activities that I'm going to be talking about throughout the show are not the activities that include being on an iPhone or being on a phone or being a cell phone or being on the computers. And even as far as all those long hours we spend on computers and the younger people being on these computer games, what we're finding is that those types of activities really aren't feeding the reward part of the brain. They're actually triggering a different part of the brain that's associated with depression. Very interesting information. So the topic of today's show is Busy Hands and Happy Mind. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and thanks for joining me today. I'm going to be talking throughout the show kind of this neurological connection that we're seeing as far as what we do with our hands and how it really does impact the physiology, neurology, and then also the actual chemical changes that take place in the brain. And I'm going to be also sharing in the second segment some of the activities that you can actually engage in that we know scientifically now stimulates this reward circuit part of the brain in a way that it actually creates good health, and it's as healthy as going for a walk. If you suffer from depression, we know that going for a walk, being outdoors, enjoying the outdoors, letting the mind wander, stopping it from fixating on what the problem is and everything, really does help ward off depression. This is a completely different approach. So what I'm going to be doing is talking about all the things that we can do to give the brain what it needs in order to preserve that good mental health that every single one of us strive for. I'm also going to be taking your calls today, so if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada, and also international callers, you can use the same number, 877-230-3062. Let's do it again, 877-230-3062. Just dial your international calling card before that. Anyway, I'm looking forward to talking to you and sharing my medical intuitive skills. You know, wouldn't it be nice if you could understand why your parents raised you the way they did, or why your siblings treat you the way they do, or understand why you're attracted to some people and not to other people, or discovering why it's so easy to get on that wavelength with some people, and boy, no matter how hard you try, it's really difficult to get on the same wavelength with others. Wouldn't it be great to understand your children, your partner, your spouse, your boss, coworkers, and even your friends better? And to use what you learn about yourself and about this personality I'm going to be talking about in a moment, how you can actually use this knowledge to be able to reduce conflict, minimize power struggles, and communicate more effectively. Well, I kind of gave you a sneak preview of what I'm going to be sharing at this very moment, and I am so excited. I created the What Colors Your Personality Indicator in 1991. And prior to that was actually in the research stages of doing it, where I actually brought it into the public view in 1991, but I really started the research in 1980. And what I'm so excited to share with you is that I've actually launched online for the very first time my full personality assessment, the Personality Color Indicator. And this assessment has been used by educators, businesses, governmental agencies, families, students, and even individuals globally. And in fact, my personality assessment, Am I Managing People? What's Personality Got to Do with It? Is actually part of the MBA program that's being offered in Singapore, Japan. So anyway, Singapore, in China. So anyway, very, very excited about it. I was talking about Japan because my book, one of my books was just translated into Japanese. So it's, you know, it's just all good. But what about this personality? What is it that really makes us different? And why is it so difficult for us to be around some people and others? Well, it really boils down to the neurology of personality, which is where my focus have been, and my expertise is to help people understand that while people may appear to be making your life miserable, or you may think that that's their true intent, the reality of it is they just see things differently than you do. So if you don't know your personality color, the process to learn is very, very simple. Just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the Find Out Now button on the What Color Is Your Personality slide in that moving banner on my homepage. Then all you have to do is join my personality network and pay the nominal cost of $1.95. And poof, you're going to know your personality color. And you're going to be able to not only discover your color, but read a detailed description of your color and then also detailed descriptions of the other four colors, red, orange, yellow, green. And then also I have just report after report of information on how to deal with other personality colors in order to be able to minimize those power struggles and try to get you on that same wavelength. Also, as a thank you for joining, you're going to be receiving two free bonus gifts. One is a personality reference guide on effective communication, kind of tips and suggestions on how to talk to each of the four personality colors, and then also a personality reference guide on conflict and looking at what triggers conflict for each of the four colors, and then also what you can do, tips and suggestions of what you can do to minimize conflict. I've been doing this personality work for a long time, and one of the things that I hear continually from people is, Carol, this has literally changed not only my life and the way I see myself, but it really has changed the interaction that I am feeling and experiencing with other people and all that stress that's associated with it. So I'm confident that if you'll go in and you actually take the assessment, discover your color, it's going to open up just a whole different perspective of who you are, and it's going to literally not only change your life forever, but it's going to change how you interact with people. So very, very excited to be launching this and being able to offer this discovery to you. It changed my life in 1978 when I always have felt like a square peg trying to fit in a round world, and I never quite understood why. And I became introduced to personality, and my whole perception of myself changed in a way that it helped me build confidence and be able to do the things that I really dreamed about doing, but I just always felt that maybe I would never get there. So there's a lot of power that comes out of it. So again, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Well, let me begin by actually stating some of the research we found is that the earlier generations who lived with what we had characterized a greater effort just to be able to survive were actually mentally healthier than we are today. And we also know that children that are born in the middle third of the 20th century, which is where we are actually 10 times more likely to suffer from major depression than those who were even born in the first part of the 20th century. The more I started looking into this depression, this busy hand, these activities, and looking at what can we do to be able to ward off depression without really having to look at and turn to medication, that what I found that the contributors of depression are even more important when we start to understand how the brain works and how it tries so hard with everything that we have, the stress, the press, the hurriedness, all of the activities that we're doing that are more mandatory than what's important to us, is that the more we understand the connection between depression and the activities of the role of the depression and the activities of the brain, then more important And more importantly, it's becoming that we actually look at the mental health activities and what can we do to be able to keep that brain agile and active and keep that pleasure part of the brain releasing the dopamine that it is designed to do in order to keep us have that general overall sense of emotional well-being. The reality is that our brain is actually programmed to derive pleasure and a deep sense of satisfaction when our physical efforts produce something tangible, something that's visible, and something that's meaningful for us. It doesn't stay mentally healthy when we're working on computers. Those games, maybe after hours and hours and days and months, we can get off of one level of a game and move to another, but that doesn't give us that real mental stimulation of that reward part of the brain or the activities that we feel really good. It's like, okay, well, level one's done. Let's go to level two. So we know that working on computers, being these couch potatoes that we've heard a lot about, and even pushing buttons that we do for our coffee makers or that we do for our microwaves or that we do for our phones or all these other things, that the way that that does is the more repetitive we are in using our hands, the more repetitive the brain starts to adapt to those different behaviors and those activities, and it actually starts creating a shutdown in the brain to the point where it relies more on those instant gratifications or those repetitive actions and those habits that basically can ultimately create depression, as we're finding out. From an evolutionary perspective, our brains will and have always needed to be involved in movement, and specifically movement of the hands, because it's through the efforts of the hands that we're really able to gain a sense of control over our environment and actually produce the results that are needed to help us survive. It's the hands that connect movement, emotion, and thinking, and makes it possible for this brain to activate its effort-driven reward circuit. When the circuit is buzzing at top capacity, the areas of pleasure and reward in the brain are secreting neurochemicals such as dopamine and serotonin, which are involved in generating positive emotions. The result is that the neurological connections are strengthening and actually reinforcing what we experience when we experience that personal satisfaction. If we were to delve deeper into the effort-driven reward circuit, we would also discover that the motor cortex of the hands occupy most of the higher cortex, that's the outer layer covering the brain, responsible for the circuits of activities and the production of new brain cells. And it's this production of new brain cells that is believed to be an important factor in both the prevention of depression and even in the recovery of depression. So when we're starting to look at the overall activities, while movement, walking, and being outdoors and change of scenery actually stimulates the pleasure part of the brain, it really is the activities of the hands that really have the greatest impact in that neurochemical dynamics that happens in the body to be able to keep us mentally healthy. I just found all of this absolutely fascinating from the standpoint that when I did my teleclass on depression, which, by the way, if you aren't aware of these teleclasses, I have them every month. I've actually taken a couple months off this summer to do some other things, but usually every month I will have a Your Health teleclass. They are free. You can learn more about them on my website, www.ritberger.com. I've actually covered 30 different illnesses, looking at each one from a holistic perspective, looking at it clinically, psychologically, energetically, holistically, giving conventional treatments and then also alternative therapies to be able to deal with it. And when I was preparing for the depression teleclass, I kept looking at it psychologically and wondering, what is it psychologically that really creates that kind of that angst that we feel neurologically and even in the physicalness of the body associated with the general sense of malice that we have in the physical body? What is it that we're missing? And what we're missing is we're missing those reward-based, those hand reward-based movements and activities that keep our brain stimulated, keep those new cells coming forward and so forth. And I found that really even engaging in hobbies and activities, as I said at the beginning of the show, go a long way with being able to keep the dynamics of that neuroplasticity, that new building of these new neural pathways that we know that the brain is always doing and always wanting to do, and then the neurogenesis, which is the building and the creating and building of these new brain cells. That's one of the greatest things that we know with depression is our brains, unlike we used to think, is actually building new brain cells every single day, and that we can increase that brain cell activity by learning, by doing things with our hands. So really, it when you start looking at it, it's like, oh my gosh, maybe at some point in time, those general sense of depression that we have are something that we could just heal very quickly by going out and maybe working in the garden a little bit, or maybe being able to do beading. I got hooked on beading 4 years ago, and I thought, oh my gosh, why am I taking this on? I've got all this other stuff that needs to happen, yada, yada, yada. I'm so sure that you've all can relate to that. And I got involved in doing this beading, and I just found that being able to tactilely touch the beads and their different shapes and the colors that I could see with my eyes and the visualization that went in my mind's eye as I was creating these different pieces of jewelry as I was buying the beads. All of those things have really helped working and keeping me mentally healthy from the standpoint of not feeling like I'm just always so overwhelmed. And one of the things that happens, especially with the dopamine decrease, is that we experience more bouts of stress, but more importantly, we're prone to burnout. So it's very important to keep those hands very, very healthy. So I'm going to talk more about this in the next segment, but I want to jump in right now. And let's take Kristen from Sacramento. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. How can I help you?
Speaking of the neurological part of the brain, I just got done having an MRI, and the results came back clear, which is good news. But
yes,
I have a lot going on at the base of the skull and going down my neck and into my shoulders, mostly the left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could assist me in finding the issue that I can begin to. Well, I've been healing with it, but the last part of it, I would like to move it out. It would be really good.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, because one of the things is that feels like from a personality standpoint, you like to be able to see all the options. You like to be able to have movement, and you like to just be very, very engaged in life. And I can feel that this has just got you stuck in an area that you just don't feel like you have that movement. That's the first thing that your soul basically started sharing with me. When I go into the anatomy of the body, I'm going to say something that may sound really strange, and congratulations on the neurological part of it, because there isn't anything there. Sweetie, have you ever been diagnosed or had anybody talk to you about TMJ?
Yes.
Okay. What's going on in your neck when I first touched it is it's going back to that jaw hinge on the left side. So I've actually got some tightness in that jaw. You feel like you're grinding your teeth or gritting your teeth during the night. It's putting a lot of pressure on the muscles that are actually that little mastoid muscle that we have deep within the neck itself. That muscle feels tight. What it's also doing is it feels like that you're favoring it while you may not be consciously aware of it. And it's also causing you to take your head, and it feels like when I go inside, it feels like your head feels tipped forward slightly, a little bit to the right. And I'm getting quite a bit of pulling of muscles on that left side. I go into the trapezius around cervical vertebrae 6 and 7, which is just below where the neck and the shoulders come together in that brachial plexus. I'm getting it also in that muscle where I'm getting it out to the trapezius and the rotator cusp and the left arm and everything. Do you wear a night guard, sweetie?
Yes.
Okay. Have you noticed anything with that night guard? Have you noticed anything with chewing?
I just noticed that my jaw on the left hits more than the right. It just happens to be where my teeth are.
Okay. Okay. So the reason I brought that up is to kind of start there. And with that, in that fifth chakra, it's around expressing yourself. It's about, and we do that all the time. We express what everybody else thinks we should, and then once in a while we'll throw in a little bit about ourselves. And so a lot of what you're experiencing is a lot of release work. It's around not speaking up, being maybe afraid to be seen, heard rather than just seen. There's a lot of metaphor that I pick up around your fifth chakra. When I go in, and I'm going to keep moving through because one of the things I always hope as a medical intuitive, if I give you a bigger picture, then you can start to visualize what needs to be, is that we need to somehow get that jaw to seat itself where we don't have the clicking, because that'll take the pressure off the muscles. Then when I go into the brain, where I go to the bottom of the brain stem itself, where all of those nerves come down the spinal cord itself, there's an old injury in cervical vertebrae 3 and 4. Did you have whiplash at one time, honey?
I believe so.
Yeah. So what I've got is I've got some compression. It looks like probably what you had is you had some trauma to the disc. Probably was bulging at the time. The disc itself is a little compressed on the left side versus the right side. So it feels like we've got some tension in the muscles in that area. And then when I add the jaw, I've got more tension in that area. And I'm looking around. Oh, good news is we don't even have a bone spur. This is great, sweet. So what this means is that we could work with this from a muscular standpoint. Have you tried acupuncture?
Yes, I have. I actually work with Jana and Din. And,
good.
We've done
okay.
The reflexology for 2 weeks straight, and it's helped quite a bit, but it just hasn't moved out. And acupuncture and chiropractic and massage.
None of those things will.
Craniosacral also.
Okay, good, good. Well, boy, you've just kind of ahead of me. So let me keep on traveling then. Because I'm trying to figure out with all of those things, when you said that, what I'm trying to do is figure out with all of those things that you've been trying, why it's not holding. Because it should.
Yes.
Because you have been getting relief and you've been doing the different things. So let me go and go a little further, because we know that while the symptomology and the discomfort is in the shoulders, I need to go. Okay, I'm in the thoracic spine. Okay, I am down in the lumbar part of the spine. I'm going through L1, L2, the sciatica area. I'm going down through, did you break your tailbone? Have you fallen and broken your tailbone?
I didn't fall, but I hit it on a fire hydrant when I bent down one time.
Okay, so let me tell you what's going on, sweetie, is that what I have is I've got your neck. I'm going to give you a visual. I've got your head leaning a little bit to the front, over to the right. That's causing all these muscles to try to adjust your spine to straighten it. I've got the tight muscles in the trapezius and that little mastoid muscle in the neck area. I'm going down the spine. I'm finding that the thoracic part looks good. The lumbar, we've got that little bit of a curve. It's not off a lot. But when I start going down into the lower lumbar part, I've got your left hip a little bit higher than your right, and I've got your tailbone tucked under like a dog with its tail tucked between its legs.
Uh-huh.
And what it's doing is it's actually causing you to pull your bottom forward. It's putting more pressure on the lower muscles in the glutes. It's putting more pressure, tension in the muscles in the center part of your spine, and it's putting more pressure in the muscle part of your spine. So my sense is with John, was John working with you with the reflexology?
Yes, all of them have actually.
All of them? Okay, Stan also and all of them. Okay. My sense is that what we really need to focus on is we need to focus on the first chakra. We need to focus on the coccyx sacrum part of your spine. Chiropractic, until we can get these muscles to release the way they need to. So your muscle just said to me that it's carrying a lot of deep-seated resentment. So there's something that's going on that if we looked at first chakra, are you concerned about your survival, money, housing,
yeah,
relationship, finances, anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would like to start bringing in money.
Okay. So what we can do is let's go in and just take it from a different standpoint. So let me go back. Your soul said finish that sentence, Carol. So here I go back. So what we're doing is that in reflexology, if they work with the lower part of the spine and they work with removing the tension on the hips themselves and the muscles, then what's going to happen is that left hip will drop down the way that it needs to. The muscles will then start a muscle reaction, kind of a chain reaction going the opposite direction, take the pressure off the neck, and that will help. The good news is that you don't have any nerve damage. What this really is, sweetie, it's all muscle.
Okay.
So the thing is your muscles feel like they get angry. So you might want to look at doing some of the things. And I think that maybe when I pick up that anger part of it, it feels to me that, you kind of reach this place and it's like, okay, I've had enough. I'm done. I need to move on. I need to get up. You kind of get frustrated. I can pick up this thing, resentment a little bit, like, body, don't fail me now. Come on, let's do it. And then I find that little bit of anger edge coming in as a motivation and everything. But what it's doing is it's being counterproductive to your body. So let's take a different direction. So, honey, if you had all the time and money that you ever needed, what would you do that would be creative, that would allow you to produce money? Because your money is tied to your creativity. It isn't tied to being good at a task, like a desk job or something like that. Your money is tied to creativity. So if you had all the time and money that you needed and the freedom that you needed, what would you do that would feed that creativity, that would produce whatever you're looking for money?
I'd love to work with children as far as consciousness work and create retreats and do one-on-one work also with people.
Okay, outstanding. Did you happen, and you may not, but it's not trying to put thoughts in your mind, but you actually flowed much easier in your conversation, and I felt that tension get off that left shoulder. And I felt it more even in that left jaw. There was just a fluidity about your words. There was some excitement that was coming forward. So what do we need to do? And that, so if the objective is to create these retreats for consciousness for children, how about if you take a little bit of time and just kind of go and just allow yourself, give yourself the freedom to do this. What would that look like? What would these retreats look like? That's the first place. Second place is, what part of consciousness do you want them to be more conscious of? Play, outdoors, interacting with nature. Think about it that way. Then the third part of it is that what step can you take tomorrow, today? Today would be better. Tomorrow, the next day, we don't have a time frame on it, to take once you get this clear vision of what these retreats would look like. And I'm talking about where you want them. What would it look like? Would it be outdoors? Would it be a room, a building? Would it be a labyrinth? What would it look like? Because I keep picking up all these possibilities with you. And then what you want to do is you want to hold that vision, and then you want to work backwards. Instead of looking forward, work from seeing it done, working backwards. And then what do you need to do today to make that dream come true? To take that creativity. And what you need to do today, as it feels to me, is you just need to have some quiet time to really think about what, not what consciousness is, but what do you want this to look like? What age groups? Where do you want it to be? Is there a lot of color? How will it feel? Will you hear them laughing? Will they be painting? Will they be doing creative, crafty things? What will they be doing? And then the next part is that what part of consciousness do you want to work with? Do you want to work with the consciousness tied to emotional well-being, the consciousness tied to physical well-being? Is it a combination of all, and work with it that way? I can actually feel, honey, and I can actually feel you relaxing. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, I'm almost to tears because I've wanted this so badly.
Okay, so all we need, this is the time of clarity. All we need to do is don't look at all the things that are in front of you, because, OMG, that's going to stop all of us. What does it look like? What does it look like? How do you feel? What sense of satisfaction? What do your children get from this? What do you feel? You couldn't have a better connection to make this come into reality than Jana, sweetie. I mean, she's a wonderful teacher. She's been doing it for a long time. She teaches the family living aspect of life, kind of that homemaking. We don't call it that anymore. She knows the system. She knows what's needed. She knows what kind of grants are out there. She knows what it is. She's a wonderful resource for you after you get what this would look like, sweetie.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know why, but I've got to just ask you to do a little bit of a road trip. Have you been to the art school center that is off of, excuse me, for the rest of listeners, all over the rest of the country and in the world, we're going to come home on Sierra College Boulevard in Roseville, sweetie. It's kind of between Granite Bay and Roseville.
No.
There is an art school there that I would encourage you to go, and it's between Douglas Boulevard, Auburn Folsom Boulevard and Douglas Boulevard. It's a wonderful place. I don't know why that place just connects with you. At least it may give you some visual.
Is it called the Art School Center?
You know what? I'll have to, yeah. I don't know. I'm sorry, my left brain. I'm waiting on my left brain. I'll tell you what, I'm going to hold that, and if I come up with it, I'm just going to put it on the air so
okay.
You can do it. I'm just trying to think about it. The School of Art, I think it's called, or something like that. It's in Roseville. You could probably Google art schools in Roseville and come up with it. It's on,
okay.
It's on Sierra College Boulevard. Douglas Boulevard. That will help you. So the rest of you that are in England and Singapore and Brazil and everywhere else, thanks for the patience on that one. Sweetie,
okay.
That's where you want to go. Oh, my
Thank
God.
Thank you very,
you
very much.
You just feel so different. You are so welcome. Absolutely my pleasure.
All right, thank you.
I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about the busy hands, happy mind syndrome that we're working with and this beautiful link that we have, and then also taking more calls. So stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Hello again. Thanks for sharing your day with me. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and if you're just joining me, I'm talking about the connection between busy hands and happy mind and how keeping those hands busy actually can ward off depression. I'm also taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about your health or about today's show or any other question, actually, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S., Canada, and also for international callers. Again, it's 877-230-3062. To celebrate the launch of my personality assessment and my new personality site, I'm having a What Do You Love About Your Personality Month on my Facebook page, Dr. Carol Reitberger. In addition to posting tips and insights about personality and offering suggestions on how you can harness the gifts of your personality to live your fullest potential, I'm actually going to be doing a big giveaway of a one-hour free intuitive reading with me, and also a book bundle, which includes What Colors Your Personality book, and then also Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It. To be eligible for this giveaway, all you have to do is to go in and discover your personality color, and then post a line or two about what you love about your personality color on my wall. You can even post as often as you like. And then on September 12, 2012, I'm going to be drawing the names of the people that have actually posted on the wall about what they like about their personality, and I'm going to be announcing the recipients of the one-hour free reading with me, also the book bundle, and then also I have three different three-month free subscriptions to GaiaM TV, a wonderful TV program. I was actually interviewed on GaiaM TV the beginning of August, just a lot of fun to be able to do, and just a wonderful approach that they're taking to be able to use the ability of internet TV to be able to really expand consciousness at a very, very different level. So I have all of those gifts, and then on September 12th, I'm going to be drawing those names. And then on September 19th, I'm actually going to be announcing the winners of that, the drawings on my radio show right here on Contact Talk Radio, and then also on my Facebook page. So again, all you need to do in order to be able to be a part of that drawing and so forth is to go to my website, www.ritberger.com, join the Personality Network. $1.95 is all it costs, with a lot of information that's available and two free bonus gifts. Take the personality assessment, discover whether your color is a red, orange, yellow, or green, and then post what you love about your color on my Facebook page, and it should just be a lot of fun. I look at it on a daily basis, of course, as I'm posting different tips and everything, and I will tell you some of the things that people love about their personality color. For the yellow personality, somebody posted the other day, they love the part of their personality that's always asking questions, that's always wanting to learn and always wanting to be curious. And a green personality says that it's not always hard, it's not always easy being kind of green. It's hard being green, like Kermit the Frog says, but I love being green because it allows me to use my creativity in a very free form and not really feel like I have to do everything, anything with all the things that I create. And then the red personality, I have such thing as I love time management. I love being productive. I love being able to make things happen. If you ask me about something that you want me to do, I love being able to do it, and you can always count on me. And then the orange personality, I had one posting saying that I love being orange because I love caring about and for other people. So again, fun way to be able to look at personality and to discover more about who you are through this very simple process by joining my personality network. And then learning more about yourself and learning more about the people in your life. So when we go in and we look at this whole process of this reward-based part of the brain, and we look at some of the activities, and I've certainly been talking about that, the fact that the computer, while it's is wonderful productivity tool, I understand that very well. I spend a lot of hours on it. That, and while we're using our hands to punch the keyboard or using that phone to be able to punch our little keypads or the iPhone to move all of our little letters and numbers that we need and so forth, all of those things, while it is using the hands, those activities actually are not feeding the pleasure part of the brain. It's more of the task part of the brain. And it can create an actual anxiety that comes along with it, those errors that we make when we're typing or the things that we do. And what that can actually do is, we know now scientifically, is that it can actually create a depression syndrome that's associated with being on the computer all the time. So, I mean, all the computer companies are going to go, wow, Carol, you're really not helping me out. I really am helping them, because even if we go in and we look at Google and we look at Yahoo and we look at Microsoft and some of the great big names, even Facebook and everything, all of those companies are now realizing that staying plugged into the computer as long as their employees do they're actually seeing changes in behavior and an increase in some of the health well-being, the mental health well-being of their employees. So they're putting in areas that have different kind of hobbies or different things that they can do. And, I mean, they are really cutting edge. They're right there on top of everything. So what are some of the hobbies and activities that you can engage in that are really favorites to your brain? Well, first of all, golf. Golf is a wonderful game, even though it has a lot of repetitive movement to it. The fact is, it really is a challenge against you, and you against the course. It gets you outdoors. It gets you moving. You have to always be thinking about the next shot, the next putt, the next everything, trying to decide what it is. And I will tell you, there's nothing more satisfying than that reward part of the brain when you sink a putt that nobody else thought you could do. And so that's what feeds that reward part. Knitting. We have a tremendous spur of people, young people, this kind of movement toward knitting. Both male and female, young and old, are learning how to knit. And we really, I mean, the knitting industry is on the rise from the standpoint of more people doing it. I'll see people knitting in the airport, men knitting in the airport, because it's that activity of that sense of doing something that's productive, doing something that you literally, in knitting, you can look down and you can actually see your progress, and you can see this garment or this scarf or this afghan or whatever you're doing being able to come alive before your very eyes. Scrapbooking. Scrapbooking is a major, major activity right now. So much creativity associated with it. So again, another way to be able to really feed that reward part of the brain. Walking. Walking is very, very stimulating. And part of the thing with walking is that you can basically walk to get the cobwebs out of your head, or you can walk to exercise. Really doesn't make any difference unless you see walking as exercising. Yuck, you don't like to exercise. As a result, you don't like to walk. So what we just need to do is we just need to change the perception around the walking and really seeing as a chance to get a different scenery, to be able to move the body, to stimulate the body. You might want to have things that you hold in your hands, maybe stones that you could rub. Maybe you'll want to have some weights or something that engages your hands in the walking activity. Sewing. We're seeing this new kind of found interest in sewing once again, both young and old. And in between, actually, but we have more young people that are getting into the sewing that are really, we're getting some wonderful new designers that are even coming up with some of these new designs of clothing that are very fresh, that the way they put colors together. So we have sewing. We're actually seeing more fabric stores popping up all over the United States. Painting. Painting can be anywhere from finger painting, honest to goodness, to actually doing these incredible acrylics and oils and so forth. It really doesn't make any difference. Again, remember that when you're using your hands, you're really activating so much of the brain to a way that it actually comes in and it stimulates all the activities, all of the senses that are associated with the well-being of the mind. Jewelry making, I can attest to that one, just a lot of fun. Sometimes I don't even need to make jewelry. I just like to pull the beads out, look at them. I always refer to them as kind of eye candy. I love to be able to touch them, create a little bit of something on my mat and tweak it a little bit and see what it is. And when I start putting those beads maybe on a bracelet or something, the sense of satisfaction of being able to do that is just tremendously rewarding. Woodworking. Woodworking also, we're finding more young people getting involved in woodworking, and this has a lot of benefit from two different ways, is that we have more young people, male and female, that are getting involved in the woodworking and really bringing back a lot of the different aspects of woodworking that we found very, very early, maybe even in the early 1900s, the carving of the ducks or the geese or whatever it may be, or the creating of these little animals or these birdhouses, whatever it may be, the making of furniture. We're seeing a great interest that's increasing in that area as well. The young people are learning. They're learning to work with tools. They're using their hands. They're being able to see the progress. But also the people that have been doing it for a long time are having a different sense of satisfaction that's associated with being able to do the work and to get that sense of satisfaction to watch somebody that hasn't done it before be able to enjoy it. Gymnastics, gardening, gosh, gardening can be anywhere from putting in a large garden to building garden boxes where you can actually plant the seeds or buy the little plants that can go in the garden. You can container gardening. We're seeing so many more books that are being written about container vegetable gardening and so forth on it. More community gardens, areas that are being created. Again, all ages involved in all of that. Wonderful activities. Great for those busy hands, happy mind. Cooking classes, and not just what you do every single night, or maybe you want to step it up. Maybe every week you try a new recipe, or maybe you get so excited you try a couple of recipes and so forth. Maybe you try a completely different food, an ethnic food or something. Just those things around cooking, being able to go out in your garden and get your own herbs or to be able to harvest your own vegetables. Those are the things that busyness of the hands, the mind absolutely loves it. And as strange as it may sound, even cleaning house. I know that we're all busy and that a lot of times that we just don't want to have to clean the house and it's easier to hire someone. And that's very, very true. I certainly can attest to that one as well. But the reality of it is the activities of cleaning house and the satisfaction that you get from being able to take a room and to be able to get it all clean and to dust and do all the different things. All of those things, the busy hands, again, that hand dynamics that takes place, very, very important for the psychological well-being. So even if you have a housekeeper, if you're, you know, fortunate enough to do that or it's important enough to do that, there are things that maybe you like to do. In fact, my daughter and I laugh all the time is that we will call each other and so forth and we'll say, she'll say, "Hey, Mom, I've got my putter on today." And I'll say, "Well, Di, I've got my putter on today." And sometimes it isn't even cleaning. It's that puttering, that fine-tuning, that rearranging, doing those little things that are important to us that use our hands, that keep us in that emotional, mental well-being. Activities such as these actually can alter the brain in a more meaningful way than one dose of single drug could accomplish. So what that's saying is that if we can just keep the hands busy, then what our brain needs is that we can keep those hands busy, we keep that connection between effort and consequences or rewards alive. And in doing so, then it'll be like we're taking a mental vitamin that actually helps us build resilience and even provides not only a better buffer for depression, but also a better buffer for stress and can actually help in managing of the stress that we have that seems to be so prevalent, especially at this time when our to-do list outweigh our free time. So again, fun subject to talk about. Keep those hands busy. I want to take a caller before I have to get off the air. Hi, how are you, Doris?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can. How can I help you?
Oh, I just wanted to ask you about situation that's been bothering me for many, many years now. I had an illness when I was in my early 30s. It was tonsillitis, I believe, and then I was on some antibiotics for a while that were pretty harsh. And after that, it's like my whole body just sank into some place. I never felt the same again. I was never able to get my energy up again. Now I'm struggling with menopausal depression, and I'm loving your program. I'm going to take a lot of your tips here to good use. But I'm finding that, you know, even when I do things that I used to enjoy, I don't have that spark anymore. It seems that it just sort of fades. I used to get it, you know, 7 days a week and then 5 days a week and then 3 days a week. And it's just something that I sort of watch disappear, pop like
right.
a bubble.
Right. Well, the first thing is with menopause, the dynamics that, of course, happen at that point in time is that we do go through so many chemical changes associated with it that what it does is it actually does impact the serotonin, dopamine activities, those neurotransmitters that are really a part of our everyday well-being and also the part of us that can feed either pain or pleasure part of the brain. My sense is that what we're really dealing with, sweetie, well, of course it is, you're having the symptomology and the outcomes of menopause. What it feels like to me is that what we have is a combination of two things. One is that when you became ill, what it did is it overstimulated your immune system, and it feels to me like your immune system went in and started attacking parts of the body that it wasn't really sure whether it was healthy enough or not. So what it did is it feels like it started attacking the thyroid itself. Have you had your thyroid checked?
My thyroid is actually part of it's removed when I was in my mid-20s.
Gotcha. Okay.
It was Graves' disease.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Oh, well, thank you for that, because that lets me know that even before all of this activity happened, that the immune system itself was already in a state of flux and was already in a state of trying to figure out who it is, what it's supposed to do. So as a result, it most likely at a very early age became what I call hypervigilant, where it really became overreactive to anything that was happening. And then when you got the illness, what it did is it just kind of hit everything the way that it did. The thyroid being partially removed also, because it feels like some of the issue that you're dealing with is also a thyroid issue. What are you using? Are you on medication?
I'm taking Synthroid, and we just upped that dosage.
Good.
And I also have really low iron all the time.
Right, right. And the low iron can be a result of the stress that your body's been under, even though it may not be that psychological stress, it's that physiological stress. So we've got that. Also, the thyroid is tied to the liver, it's tied to the spleen, it's tied to the liver, the pancreas, mm-hmm. and also the spleen. So we've got a lot of real key parts of the physiology of the body that are being impacted. We've got the thyroid. I'm so glad that they increased the Synthroid. That should help you. Please do know that your body may take a little bit of time. I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks. Sometimes it can take a month for people to start to feel a difference. And you should in that period of time. So we've got that. And I'm going in, and all of a sudden your gut started talking to me about foods. You've got some sensitivities that's going on from a food standpoint. Are you aware of those sensitivities?
I've changed my diet many years ago to a vegan diet. I tried elimination. Now I'm eating sort of vegetarian. I do put a little fish in because I
Good.
Feel like I just need the more energy. Yeah.
Good.
And last night I went to a cooking class and I learned how to ferment food. So I've got things going on the cupboard right now to ferment and try to get some more good bacteria in my gut.
Good, good. See, look at you. You're already ahead of the game. I love this. All right. So that's going to help as well. What you'll want to do, I'm glad to hear that you're back on fish. There's some things. The omega-3s, very, very important. Also B12, B6, B3. I'm feeling like you have a deficiency in those areas, maybe a good super B complex, or you may even be able to find things that you could do from a vegetable standpoint that could help stimulate that. That's part of the dopamine decrease that I'm picking up in you. That's the pleasure part of that kind of mental health and well-being. The activities, the cooking classes, all those things will help. Unfortunately, we really can't take dopamine. We actually have to give it to the brain via activities, via the things that we're doing that make us feel good about ourselves. So that's some of the things. The other thing is, I think the B is going to help you with the red blood count. That's part of the fatigue that I'm picking up. I do have a slight bit of anemia that's going on. I think that's going to help. I think the diet changes. I think the Synthroid. I think the things that you're doing is really working in the direction that you want it to go. And then I think if we can just, you know, your cooking classes and some of these other things we're talking about, then what we could do is we could get that serotonin, dopamine back in balance. And I even think that at that point in time, even with the changes in menopause, what you're going to find is that you're going to start feeling just overall better as far as what's going on in the body. So we've got multiple things. Feels like you're really working on them to be able to write them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, this all makes sense. It's wonderful. I'm that sadness, yeah, with the menopause, you know, it's cyclical.
Oh,
so I'll
yes.
have my really good days, and then I have the days where, you know, I just want it to be done with. And then I know that a few days, if I just hang on a few more days, I'll be, you know, back to right again. So, but with such low energy, it's just exhausting. But you know, I'm just amazed.
It is. Everything feels like such an effort, doesn't it? And then, you know, you add the energy of where we are and everything, and boy, can I relate to everything. I want to tell you, I'm kind of on the other side of the menopause, sweetie, but, and it does get better. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. Believe me, there really is. I know in the throes of it, it isn't. But the days that you don't have a lot of effort, a lot of energy and so forth on it, maybe what you can do is have those days as being the activity days that you want to do that really kind of keeps the hands busy and things like that. And by doing that, you'll feel some satisfaction, and then you won't be focusing as much, or your mind won't be focusing as much as, well, yesterday I was feeling really good. Today I don't feel like good. Everything. One of the things I found in the dynamics of the busy hands, happy mind is the mind is constantly comparing where we were to where we are, and it never looks good.
Yes, I'm always saying, oh, when I was 32, I felt great. And then when I was 33, you know, it's all downhill from there. But that's not so. But I do spend far too much time on the computer. And you've mentioned a lot of great suggestions here that I'm sure are going to help me, benefit me immensely.
Well, thank you. And thank you for sharing. And do please keep yourself keeping active and everything. I want to thank all of you for joining me on the show today. It's always so much fun to share all this information and to spend my Wednesdays with you. I'm going to see you next week on the radio. You have a wonderful, wonderful week. Light and love to all of you.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.